Welcome to Parshas HaShavua. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ki Tzetzeh, an action-packed Parsha with so many different mitzvahs. But I want to continue the theme of connecting the Parsha of the week to the time of the year that we're in, the month of Elul. And according to the Mefarshim, in fact this is based on a Zohar, the very first pasuk, the very first paragraph of the Parsha is about the tshuva and the upgrade of spirituality that we experienced during the month of Elul. The pasuk begins, and it's a halacha to do with what happens in a war. Excuse me, and it's about what happens when a person goes to war, and when the Jewish people go to war, and someone finds a captured woman there, and the whole story about if you can live with her, and the process that she had to go through, and so on and so forth. But the very first pasuk is Seitzel Amulchama Al Oivecha, when you go out to war with your enemies. The Zohar says actually refers to the war that we have with the Yetzer Hara. The war that we confront, especially during the days of Elul, about how we're doing in our war with the Yetzer Hara. And sometimes, during the month of Elul, we are overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed with how are we going to change? How are we going to do this? Is it all too much? Is the Yetzer Hara too strong? And one of the things that we learn, of course, is the idea of confidence. And it comes from the very first pasuk of this week's parsha. As it says in the pasuk, Yiseitzel al-Mulcham, if you go out to war, al oyvecha, with your enemies. But if you look closely, it doesn't say with your enemies. Because then it would say, Yiseitzel al-Mulcham im oyvecha, with your enemies. It actually says, Yiseitzel al-Mulcham, if you go out to war, al oyvecha, upon your enemies, on top of your enemies. In other words, the Torah is saying, yes, there is a war. Hashem definitely gave us a struggle. He designed us to struggle with the Yetzer Hara. There's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And of course, especially during Elul, we need to reflect how we're doing with that war and how we're going and what are the things we need to fix and improve on. But the first thing the Torah says is, Ki seitzel al-mulcham, if you go out to war, al oyvecha. You have to always know that you can win. You are on top of your enemies. It's a war that is going to be won. We have just have the strength and the confidence to do this. Talking about Elul, before I come back to the parsha of the week, I'm just going to share with you something I've shared before from the Sfas Emes, but with a little bit of an extra twist. We know that Elul, the word Elul, is Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. And in fact, it can be broken up into two words. Loi, which means not, with an Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and Loi with a Vav, Lamed Vav. And the Sfas Emes said the following. He said that during Elul, we have to look at a pasuk, in fact, a pasuk which we say most days in davening, where we say, "Du'u ki Hashem hu alakim," we say this in Mizmor L'Soida, you shall know that Hashem is our God, hu asanu, he made us, v'loy anachnu. Now, what does loy anachnu mean? Well, it's written with an aleph. V'loy anachnu means not us, we didn't make ourselves. Amoy v'tzoy marisa, we are not his nation. It's a negative thing. But actually the way we read it, or what we're supposed to have in mind when we read it is, V'loy anachnu, and we are his. We belong to him. Says the Sfas Emes like this, that sometimes we behave in ways where we distance ourselves from Hashem. And at that point, V'loy anachnu, we are not his. With the Aleph, Lamed Aleph, we are not his. But comes Elul, the process of tshuva is to transform the lamed with an aleph into the lamed with a vav. That instead of being loy anachnu, we are not his, loy anachnu, we are his with a vav, loy with a vav. Now, loy with an aleph, of course, is spelled with an aleph and its gematria is 31. Loy with a vav is spelled with a vav and its gematria is 36. So we learn an amazing thing, that tshuva, the word tshuva, which we know doesn't only mean repentance. We've talked about this many times. Tshuva means to return to Hashem. But if you break down the word of tshuva, it's toshuv hay, to return the hay. What does it mean to return the hay? What is the difference between loy with an aleph and loy with a vav? It's the number 5. So therefore, we've got to return the hay. Lamed Aleph, we're 31. But if we become Hashem's nation, we return the hay, we return the number 5 to the word loy with an aleph, and it becomes loy with a vav. Loy anachno, we are his, we belong to Hashem, because we've returned the extra 5 to the word loy, and we are now loy anachno. Now back to this idea of how we do this and the tshuva. So I'm going to share with you an idea that I once shared before. And it's an incredible thought from someone called Rav Moshe Wolfson, who wrote a sefer, Imunas Itecha. He should live and be well. He has an amazing sefer with an amazing insights. And it's the parsha of this week's parsha, which deals with the Ben Soirer Umoire, the rebellious son. The rebellious son is a very strange parsha in the Torah. Essentially, it's a mitzvah which deals with a delinquent early teenager when he becomes rebellious and he drinks wine and he drinks a lot of wine and eats a lot of meat and he starts to steal, and the parents warn him and they bring him to Beis Din, a whole story. And essentially what the Torah ends up saying is that this guy's onto a path of no return, and after he was warned and given lashes and he doesn't listen, they should take him out, give him capital punishment. And the Gemara says, because we have the principle that it's better that he should die innocently rather than die when he's completely guilty and he ends up killing someone else and then he's convicted and he has to be put to death because he killed someone else. Now, it's a very interesting mitzvah, almost a strange mitzvah. What's more is that we have a dispute in the Gemara. One opinion says that it's a mitzvah that actually is impossible to happen statistically, and therefore says the Gemara, lehoyo v'loy nivra. It never happened and never will happen. Why? Because statistically, the way it works is this mitzvah only applies to a child who's at a particular age, and it's only a window of 3 months. And there are so many conditions that have to happen to set this up halachically, about the parents speaking with one voice and being the same height, and all kinds of things, that it's a mitzvah that was given that's actually impossible to take place, and therefore we never end up putting that child to death. So therefore, says the Gemara, so why did the Torah give this mitzvah? Says the Gemara, Yagdil Torah v'yadir, because the Torah should be great. Just more learning Torah, which in itself is a very interesting explanation. But what's more fascinating, more puzzling, is that there's a dispute there in the Gemara. One of the great sages of the Gemara says, no, what do you mean? I sat on the grave of a Ben Soirer Umoire. I sat on the grave of one of these people. Now, the simple reading of the Gemara is that he says, no, it did happen. I sat on the grave of one, and of course it happened. So the obvious two questions are the following. First of all, you can have a dispute, but how can you have a dispute in historic fact? How can you, one person say it never happened, one person says it happened? I mean, I think it's Rabbi Yossi who says that he sat on the grave, well, then everyone should just come around and say, well, no, sorry, it did happen. Number one. But no, the opinion that says it never happened remains. And second of all, what was he doing sitting on the grave? What does it mean I sat on the grave of a Ben Soirer Umoire? What was he doing there? So Rav Moshe Wolfson offers the most amazing pshat. And he says, no, it's no dispute. Ben Soirer Umoire never happened and never will happen. Why did the Torah give it? So the Torah should become great. What does that mean? The Torah gave it to teach us an amazing lesson. Never to give up, ever. In other words, it's about parents with a child, but it's also about ourselves with ourselves. The setting of the mitzvah deals with a child who is delinquent. He's on the path of what seems to be rock bottom, and it seems to be it's a path of no return, and it seems to be a train wreck waiting to happen. To the point that we entertain the idea, we entertain the logic that maybe just end his life now, otherwise we're going to end it up later anyway and others are going to suffer. That's what it seems. And that's what the Torah is saying. We're giving us a scenario where we might think that. And then what the Torah does is sets up the mitzvah so complicated that it's actually impossible to implement. So what happened to the logic? Because the Torah is teaching us that even when you have a scenario like that, when you have a child who's completely far gone and it seems like it's just only going one direction, it's only going south, and you might even think that there's no return, there's no possibility of redemption, says a Torah, that's not true. Not true. I'm going to make it so complicated that you cannot implement your logic, because there's always hope. There is always hope. Even with this child that has hit rock bottom, and the same thing goes for all of us. Tshuva is always powerful. The Chazal tell us, "Ein luchot dover ra'im v'nei tshuva." Nothing stands in the way of tshuva. You can always do tshuva. Yes, the Chazal do tell us that sometimes tshuva is very difficult, and sometimes Hashem blocks the road of tshuva, and sometimes He punishes us by making it that much more difficult to do tshuva. But we can always push through, and we can always return. We can always reconnect. By how does the Torah teach us? By giving us a scenario where it seems that tshuva and redemption is impossible and saying, no, this mitzvah can never happen. And never would happen and never will happen. To prove the point, comes the Gemara and says, the other tzali, the other opinion says, I'm proving your point, correct. I went to the grave of Ben Soira Moira. What does it mean he went to the grave? Who? When do you go to graves other than loved ones? You go to graves to visit the graves of tzaddikim. He said, you're absolutely right. It never happened, never will happen. And the whole point is just to teach us not to give up hope, because I was at a grave of someone who was a Ben Soira Moira, and at the end he turned around and he became a great tzaddik, v'yoshafti al kibroi, and I was in his grave. I visited that grave, to daven there, to be mishtateach there, as the expression goes. What a powerful lesson to teach us that tshuva is always possible, coming from this week's parasha. Have a wonderful week, a meaningful Elul, and a good Shabbos.